Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 10. We'll read two verses of scripture. Verses 32 and 33. Jesus says, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I also confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." Jesus knew the power of fear. In these preceding verses, there were three occasions when Jesus said, "Fear not." Or if you're going to have fear, place your fear in the right direction. Place it toward God. Jesus knew that fear could cause his disciples to be silent when they should speak. And Jesus knew that fear can cause us to back away from the truth when in our hearts we really know what it is. And Jesus understood that fear can cause us to abandon our profession of faith in Jesus Christ and to stand off from it, as Paul said when he wrote to the Galatians and used the phrase, "fallen from grace." And Jesus told his disciples to not be afraid. And he told them three things in these preceding verses of Scripture that they should not be afraid of. Number one, don't be filled with fear because people are calling you Satan's followers, because everything that is said in secret will be spoken from the housetop. Everything that is covered will be uncovered. So don't be afraid of being accused of being the followers of Beelzebub, whom they referred to Jesus as Beelzebub. And Jesus said, "You should not fear magistrates, before whom you're going to be brought and forbidden to preach." Jesus understood that the movement of Christianity was going to encounter great hostility, and that his apostles would be brought before magistrates, and that the fear of being put to death might cause them to back away from their commitment to Jesus Christ. That is, from keeping and maintaining a vibrant and vital profession. Jesus said, "You should not fear losing your identity, because now you are in a hated and despised group. For God knows the identity of such insignificant creatures as a sparrow. They do not fall, not even one of them, without the attention of God being called to that event. And you are not sparrows. And so if God knows the sparrow falls, then be completely aware of the fact that if you fall, God will know it. You're not going to be forgotten and abandoned as you go on this great mission of preaching and teaching the things that I have taught you, even around the fire at night, go up on the housetop and proclaim it." And in these verses of Scripture that we've read this morning, Jesus said, "Whoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father." And that's all in context with this fear. Don't let fear drive you from confessing me as the Messiah, as the Son of God. And don't let fear drive you from saying that you believe in me and that you love me. Don't let that happen. Because if you do, you're going to lose. You're not going to lose your salvation, but you're going to lose the rewards that you could earn as a faithful witness and apostle. So when you have the opportunity, when you're brought before the magistrates, do not deny me. Confess me. And when you confess me before men, then I will confess you before my Father. If you deny me, I will deny you before my Father. Not deny you sonship, that's already established, but deny you the things that could be yours had you maintained your ardent profession of faith. We cannot lose our new birth, but we can lose the power of our profession of faith. Paul wrote to the Hebrews, "Hold fast your profession of faith." And the word that's translated profession there is the very same word that's translated confess in verse 32. So Paul was speaking about the same thing in Hebrews that Jesus is talking about here, and that is our profession of faith. What is a profession? It is to speak or say the same thing with another, to assent to and agree with. And who is it that we agree with? Who is it that we say the same thing with? Well, not our father, not our mothers, not our denomination, but what Jesus is saying is this: when you have learned who I am, and you are convinced that I am who I say I am, then agree with me publicly. Agree before people. Agree with me, do not agree with them, and speak that I am God's Son, that God is who He says He is. We make a profession of faith. We agree with God. We agree with this book. We say we believe it's true. We believe that God is who He says He is. We believe that Christ is who He says He is. That is our profession. Receiving Christ as Savior and making a profession of faith in Christ are not the same thing. Receiving Christ as Savior is when you trust Him with all your heart, when you give Him the care and keeping of your soul. That's when you trust Him. And you can trust Him in a field. You can trust Him in your bedroom. You can trust Him while you're driving your car. You can trust Him in the most intimate circumstances when absolutely no other person is in attendance. And many have been saved on lonely roads in their bedrooms and fields and in every circumstance. I was saved by a pitcher pump in Lawrence County down by a slough. That's where I was saved. I didn't make my profession of faith there because there was no one there but me and God Almighty. But I went that night and made a profession of faith before a congregation of God's people. The Bible tells us that Timothy, from a child, had known the Holy Scriptures, but knowing the Holy Scriptures hadn't saved Timothy. Just knowing them hadn't saved Timothy. And later Paul tells us that Timothy had professed a good profession before many witnesses. So Timothy was taught the Scriptures as a child. And there was a time when he gave his heart to these Scriptures as the truth and revelation of God, to accept God's provision for his personal salvation. And when Timothy did that, he was born again. And he may have been born again many years before in the presence of perhaps Paul, but certainly in the presence of many witnesses. Timothy made a profession. He said, "I believe God. I believe that Jesus is the Christ." And perhaps added many other spiritual truths to that. Now, hold fast to your profession of faith. Do not deny Christ. Confess me before men, and I will confess you before my Father. We do not hold fast to our salvation, because that's God's business. After we've committed our soul to Christ, to God Almighty, to the Holy Spirit, to the Divine One of this creation, when we have done that, then our salvation is in His hands. And we do not hold fast to our profession, to our salvation rather, but we hold fast to our profession. We protect it and we guard it. We can lose our testimony. That is, we can lose the force and power of our testimony. And this is what Jesus is talking about when He said to these men who are His apostles, "Whosoever therefore shall confess Me before men," the same word, to speak or say the same thing, here followed by a preposition that states, "Whosoever shall confess in Me before men." And it really means, "Whosoever shall confess that they have faith in Me before men." We are to acknowledge before others that Jesus is whom the Bible prophesied Christ to be, and that we believe in Him as Christ. And Jesus said, "Him will I confess also before My Father which is in heaven." I too will acknowledge Him. And I think that has to do with being a faithful servant who deserves a literal reward for faithful service in that time of rewards, which is the millennial reign of Christ. "But whosoever shall deny Me before men," the word "deny" here means to disown or to say no. "But if anyone disowns Me before his fellow men, him will I also disown before My Father." He will deny us what? What is it that Jesus will deny us? Will He deny us salvation? No, He will deny us rewards, and then we will look at an example of a man who made a confession and a man who made a denial. And it's the same man. In Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 20, you'll see that Jesus asked Peter, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now that was Peter's confession. He might have made other professions. He might have said that before other people. But on this occasion, when Jesus asked him, Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the anointed one, the promised one, the Messiah. Thou art the Christ. Thou art the Son of the living God." Then in Matthew chapter 26, verses 30 through 35, you read the denial of Peter. It's a very sordid occasion in his life. When warming by fire those who were just curious about Christ and the goings-on of that particular circumstance, Peter had been prophesied, or it had been stated by Jesus, that Peter would deny Him. And Peter had said, no, I'll never do this. I will never deny You. And yet, whenever Peter, filled with fear, he wasn't before a magistrate, he was just before a group of street riffraff. He was in the midst of homeless persons gathered around a fire, and they said, "I think I recognize you. Weren't you with this?" He said, "No, sir, I don't know the man." He denied the Lord. And the word is there, denied. Peter denied Jesus. In Peter's denial, the same word is used. But when Jesus used this, saying, "Peter, you'll deny Me," He put a prefix on it, which means to utterly deny. He intensified it. So actually, Peter went further than what Jesus said, "Him will I, whosoever shall deny Me." Just a word, but then there's a prefix that intensifies it. "Peter, you will utterly deny Me." And that's exactly what Peter did. He utterly denied Jesus. Now, let's think for just a little bit about the relationship between the mouth and the heart. The mouth of a man, according to the word of God, cannot believe. Your tongue cannot believe. The mouth of a man cannot change a person's heart. In other words, in our conversion, in our new birth, the tongue is not changed and then the heart changed. The mouth cannot be born again, and it is not born again when you are born again. James said in chapter 3, verses 8 through 12, that some people were contradicting their profession of faith because with one breath they were blessing God, and with the next breath, they were cursing men, and it was happening because James said, "Brethren, this ought not to be." Why, even in nature, you don't get this kind of contradiction. You don't have a sweet water fountain giving salt water every once in a while. You don't have a salt water spring giving sweet water every once in a while. You don't gather figs from thistles. This is contradictory to nature, and he's saying, look, if your heart is right, then your tongue ought to say the right thing. You don't make your heart right by what your tongue says. You make your tongue right by what your heart is. Now the mouth can confess. And that's what Peter's mouth did. With the mouth, Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." The mouth can confess what has occurred in one's heart according to the book of Romans, for with the mouth confession is made unto one salvation. But it's not the mouth that believes unto salvation, it is the heart. So we're talking about the mouth and the relationship of the mouth to the heart and of the heart to the mouth. Now the heart of a man can believe. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And with the heart man can believe, and this belief can create a change by the grace and mercy of God and cause the man's soul to be born again. The heart then becomes the director of a man's actions. It can therefore direct a man's speech. The heart believes unto righteousness, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness. Now let's look again at this relationship. And just think with me, please. In the case of Simon Peter, Peter confessed with the mouth. In the case of Simon Peter, he denied with the mouth. Peter believed in Christ with his heart. But he confessed with his mouth and denied with his mouth. Peter's heart had already been changed. It had already been born again. But his mouth hadn't. His tongue hadn't. So with the same mouth he spoke blessing and cursing. Out of the same fountain came sweet water and salt water. And brethren, this ought not to be, is what James said. Now, what about our mouths and our hearts? See, confession or profession and denial is from here up. You know what? Peter, even though he said, "I don't know the man," in his heart he believed that Jesus was the Messiah and he loved him. You say, but you couldn't love Jesus and deny him. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Well, if you loved him enough, okay. If you loved him enough, you wouldn't, but we can love little and we can love least and we can love much. But Peter loved him. Even when he said,
I don't know the man.
You ever been ashamed of your parents? Maybe at school sometime, your mother doesn't wear the right clothes or the right shoes or the right blue jeans or whatever, and you just kind of wish mom and dad wouldn't show up at an occasion because you're just a little bit ashamed of them. That mean you don't love them? No. No, it doesn't mean you don't love them. It may mean you don't love them like you ought to, with a fervent kind of love that would let you look past their so-called flaws and problems and get those things confused. Peter still believed that Jesus was the Messiah, and he still loved him. But he was confused, and he was afraid. And confusion and fear will cause us to say things that we really don't mean, won't they? Anger, fear, hurt, frustrations, and we say things we don't mean. And Jesus said, look, you're going to be brought before magistrates. You're going to be called the followers of Beelzebub, and your own family will probably disown you if you say that you believe in me. But in all these circumstances, confess me. Don't deny me. Jesus said, didn't talk about quit believing in him or becoming unborn again. He didn't say that. And that's not what he meant, and that wasn't what he's talking about. Boy, the mouth, according to James, is an unruly creature. You can tame a horse, you can tame an animal, you can tame serpents, you can tame fish. And they were talking about porpoises and things of this nature. But a man, you can't tame a man's tongue. Your tongue's never going to be born again. It'll be changed in a moment, the twinkling of an eye, or it'll be changed when it is change back into the earth through the process of rotten decay. But your tongue isn't going to be born again as long as you live in this world. Right now, your tongue's not born again. Your heart's born again, but your tongue isn't. So you can confess Christ and you can deny Christ with the same tongue, same fountain, giving forth sweet water and salt water. But brethren, these things ought not to be. Don't let fear drive you to say something you don't mean in your heart. Be you like Peter, he went out and wept bitterly when he heard the cock crow. He remembered then what the Lord had said. He loved him. Loved him when he denied him. But he lost an opportunity, did he not? To hold fast to his profession. He didn't do it. For that time, he didn't do it.